cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Here ends our reading for this day. Thanks be to God. If I could sum up the gist of what I learned in college as a religion major in the succinct bumper sticker quotation, it would be, question authority. As a young Christian, I read my Bible every day and believed whatever anyone who was older than me said about a particular passage. As a freshman in high school, I went to a Bible study led by seniors. And one impassioned senior explained the presence of ancient fossils in the Earth's sediment while preserving the idea that our planet has only been around for a few thousand years by way of an explanation that he had heard from his pastor. This senior in high school spoke with such great authority, so of course I believed him. How could someone older than me, who was so sure they were right, be wrong? I thought that when I got older, I would know all the answers like the older people in my life seemed to. And then a funny thing happened. I got older. And along the way, I learned something. I learned that you can study and compare a lot of information. I learned that you can seek wisdom from God and pray for knowledge. I learned that some knowledge comes not from a book, but from a response within your heart and your bones, which is not always legitimized by our Western intellectual biases. I learned that I didn't necessarily agree with all the conclusions other pastors I had known had arrived at. And I learned that I will always be growing and changing, thinking and weighing information and evolving in my heart and my mind. My wife likes it when I speak with authority about Scripture. I rarely do, though, so probably because I'm overcorrecting from pastors in my youth who told me unequivocally what particular passages meant, and there was no room for questioning. I now believe they were wrong, so instead of speaking with authority about Scripture, I usually present my findings and my beliefs, but leave the door open for future growth and interpretation. However, in the last 2,000 years, pastors and priests have spoken with 100% certainty about particular texts, which have caused the death and oppression of millions of people. For almost the first 1,500 years of Christianity, no one but the pastors and priests had access to the texts because the printing press had not yet been invented. No one had a personal Bible in their home that they were able to read and to study. So many pastors and priests taught interpretations which legitimized slavery or war or kept women out of teaching and leading roles within the church and led to the harassment and slaughter of LGBT persons. Our text today speaks about Jesus's use of authority. In his time, there was a difference between the temple and the synagogue. The temple was that special place in Jerusalem where all the sacrificial rituals took place. The synagogues were located in cities and towns that had a significant Jewish population in the first century, and these were places for the study of Scripture. Even if you didn't have access to Scripture in your home, you could still go to a nearby synagogue and hear from the scribes what they were learning from the text. Scribes were a professional class of Jewish legal scholars, and in our text for today, Jesus, who was not a scribe, entered into a synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. He even seemed to have more authority than those religious scholars. At 12 years old, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for a couple of days, couldn't find him. And when they finally did, they saw that he was sitting in the temple in Jerusalem, listening to teachers and asking them many questions. For how many years, I wonder, did he study and learn? Did he go along with the interpretations of all of his teachers? Or did he come to other conclusions? His authority extended not only to scripture interpretation, but also to healings, because Jesus performed his first healing in the Gospel of Mark while teaching in the synagogue that day. A man with an unclean spirit, or a demonic being, as they saw it back then, appeared in the synagogue and disrupted the gathering. Jesus silenced the spirit and called it to come out of the man. I can't help but read this story and think of two things pertinent to our modern-day context. Number one, so many of us have had pastors speak with authority about Scripture and do the opposite of what Jesus did. Instead of providing healing, they have been the cause of untold damage and destruction, especially towards the LGBT community. And number two, it is not lost on me that a multitude of pastors have labeled same-gender-loving attraction as demonic, as though LGBT persons have an unclean spirit within us that needs exercising. So I stand in this pulpit today with whatever authority you grant me and whatever authority that God gives, and say that God has created you beautifully and loves you as you are without reservation. And we have a lot of work to do. As you may have heard me talk about, I am working on a project that our community is in great need of. A workshop I'm creating called Biblical Self-Defense for the LGBTQ and Ally Community. Too often our sacred texts have been used against us as weapons instead of for healing and liberation. So I'm creating a presentation to share with both of our churches and the wider Oklahoma City community, which takes a look at those seven clobber passages, as they are known, that they're commonly used to label homosexuality as sinful. And my hope is that when these passages have been demystified, that individuals will feel secure in God's love for them and be equipped to reject false teaching about our community. The more we are educated, the more authority we have to put a stop to those who would use scripture as a weapon instead of as liberation. We need less speech that causes death and oppression and more language that provides healing and restitution. I was moved to tears, as many of you were today, when I first heard Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau give his speech in the House of Commons last November, as he provided a formal apology to gay Canadians who had been fired from their jobs or the military. He himself teared up as he spoke, also proposing a bill that would let courts expunge the records of people charged with crimes due to their sexuality. And he urged modern Canada to adopt forward-thinking and progressive ideals. Imagine what it would be like to hear these words from pastors and priests of all kinds. We were wrong. We apologize. We're sorry for systemic oppression and rejection, for abusing power. We're sorry. To those who took their own lives, we failed you. For stripping you of your dignity, for robbing you of your potential, for treating you like you were dangerous and decent and flawed, we are sorry. You were not bad. You were not predators. You were not criminals. You are innocent. And for all of your suffering, you deserve justice and peace. I pray that one day we will hear this from the lips of every pastor and priest. Last Wednesday, I went to a presentation about human trafficking held at the new Diversity Center on 39th Street. I was pleased and delighted to learn about all the programs that will be offered to our communities starting February 1st, the beginning of next month. The Diversity Center will have LGBT-friendly therapists, a nurse practitioner, a primary care provider, STI testing, hormone replacement therapy, midwives, an LGBT advocacy agency, and this will be the new home for the OKC Pride offices. They'll take insurance, offer sliding scale prices, and no one will be turned away for lack of funds. And this is what a community needs when malicious scripture interpretation has caused an entire segment of society to be undercared for or discriminated against. I read an article this week about the Harris Poll. The Harris Poll began in 1963 and is one of the longest running surveys measuring public opinion in the United States. Each year, in cooperation with the LGBTQ advocacy organization called GLAAD, the Harris Poll releases their findings about U.S. persons' support for queer and transgender people. Each year, support for these communities has increased, and thus the label of the report has been the Accelerating Acceptance Report. However, this year, for the first time in the survey's history, it found that acceptance of LGBTQ persons has dropped dramatically in U.S. public opinion. This all comes after a landmark year of presidential power and authority being used to roll back LGBTQ rights. From not allowing transgender students to use the bathroom, which corresponds with their gender identity, to an attempted ban on trans military service. Most recently, the Department of Health and Human Services was reshuffled to create a Conscience and Religious Freedom Division devoted to protecting the right of people of faith to discriminate against trans individuals and persons with HIV. Even though Dana and I have been here for almost 2 years now, it's taken some time for us to find doctors and specialists. And each time we call to make an appointment with a new provider, we make sure to ask if they discriminate against LGBT persons. The person on the other end of the phone seems to be caught off guard by that question, not knowing for sure if they can guarantee that the provider is LGBT friendly. They fumble with their words and say, "Let me get back to you about that." But we want to make sure we don't get ourselves into a vulnerable position with a doctor or a nurse caring for us and then turn out to have discriminatory practices. I wish that folks would ask this of the churches they visit before being exposed to discriminatory practices as well. How those in authority speak and treat others matters. It affects families and churches and nations, and as people of faith, it is our job to follow in Jesus' footsteps and exorcise the demons of our time. The unclean spirits of homophobia and xenophobia and racism and ableism and the myriad of other ways that we shut one another down in everyday life. I may not be in college anymore, but I still question authority. I look to the fruit of one's spirit to gauge my trust in their words and wisdom. We may not be there yet in terms of LGBTQ equality, but one day, with our hard work, we will have a world where truth is spoken and children are spared and equality is achieved. May it be so. Amen. Let us prepare.